Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It has come and gone. It is 4:03 on the East Coast, which means if a deal has not been done in the NFL, it's not happening. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There were a ton of deals, a slew of movement that we will talk about coming up, and we'll get you caught up on all the latest. But, Mike, as we discuss this, we were wondering if and when the Falcons are going to do something, and as we know right now, the deadline has closed.
Now, just because something is reported, and it was reported the Giants were asking for a fourth-round pick for Azeez Ojulari, the former Georgia Bulldog, and we do have a fourth-round pick, so a lot of folks say, well, there you go. Unless they wanted a fourth and a fifth or a fourth and a something next year, I don't know. Maybe it was never their intention, but they do feel they're getting more and more traction with what they're trying to do in Jimmy Lake's defense, and the guy we ask about every week with Coach is doing better. Talking about Arnold Ebiketie, so maybe our team's on the floor, as they said in Hoosiers, I guess.
Lots of moves. We're going to talk about that coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is in the 4 o'clock hour, guys, and...
Coming up in 5 minutes.
Does UGA still deserve to be the number two team, despite Carson Beck's six-pick slide and offensive miscues? We're going to talk about that. But right now, Mike, I got to ask you. Are you going to New Orleans? Because you're in here debating whether or not you're going to go. Now, you asked me last hour if I could go. Unfortunately, I would love to go. I got to work this weekend. Right. I got extra jobs. And I said, are you going to go? I will tell you, and I'm taking you guys behind the curtain. You've made a couple of calls. Where are you right now?
Well, the airline price, the airplane prices are insane. I mean, needless to say, you know. I mean, it's last minute, too. We're talking, you know.
It is.
It's here it is. It's a Tuesday. And, you know, I've looked at everything. I even considered... Spirit. And I felt dirty from even clicking on the mouse. But yeah, Delta's like a gazillion. Southwest is slightly less expensive. So then it gets you in the road trip. You know, and again, I'm on double secret probation. I really don't need to be caught in Mississippi doing 110. You know, so that's part of it. And then the weather. The weather's a concern. It looks like rain. We'll talk about Georgia here in a second.
It but
is. Old Miss, it says 70% chance of showers for kickoff up there in Oxford and apparently the Gulf Coast. So driving in the rain on I-10. You know, rain in New Orleans isn't the worst thing. You're just jumping from bar to bar. You're never out in the weather, right? You know, more than a minute. Get a cheap food, get some fried, those char-grilled oysters.
Are you going to go?
I'm thinking about it. I can get good seats. I get best seats I've had at Supernova in like years.
Yes, but it's getting there, and you keep debating. I just heard you talk to yourself and go, I got to elevate my foot. My foot's been bothering me.
Well, keep your phone on, okay? Just get it bonded out somewhere. Kind of like. Get down to like Gulfport, Mississippi.
All
or
right,
something.
This decision is coming.
We'll see what happens.
We will let you know where it goes. Right. Let's talk some dogs. I think Georgia will still be number two behind Oregon in the college football playoff rankings tonight. Now, what does that mean? Nothing. This is the first one. We're worried about 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, when this thing is all shook out and maybe the Dogs have played another SEC championship and won it, and then they are one of the top four seeds because conference championships get top seeds. That is what we know. But the playoff rankings and all of this stuff, it starts tonight with the committee. Let's talk about Ole Miss, though, Mike, because the reality is with Georgia being wobbling, all right, especially the offense. Let's talk about, you know, the six-pick slide that we mentioned. That is a concern. I do not feel like you can give it up three times on the road at Ole Miss and think that they're not going to take advantage of that.
First off, it's a road game in the SEC. You know, it's going to be a pumped-up crowd. This is going to be a like Georgia's kind of like we talk about Alabama. You always get everyone's A game. Georgia gets everyone's A game. Georgia, you know, let's be honest, Carl, two national championships back-to-back, two of the last three. So people know that what they're going to get. Kirby's talked about each week is his own season. They talked about that in Dog Nation, that, you know, you got to try to clear whatever it was last week, flush it out, and now get ready for this team. We've talked about it. Yes, they've lost to Kentucky and they've lost to LSU. Sometimes Lane Kiffin gets a little bit over his skis with, you know, his mouth, and sometimes his team can't back it up. But they've got a really good opportunistic defense, and they lead all of college football in sacks. That's a concern to me if I'm Mike Bobo, isn't it?
It is a concern. And here's what else. I mean, we can try to ignore this. We know this is right in front of us, and it's right in our face. Carson Beck joins Duke's Anthony Boone. This is 2013. Nebraska's Tommy Armstrong Jr. in 2013. And East Carolina's Jake Garcia in 2024 as the only FBS QBs in the past 20 seasons to throw three or more interceptions and win in consecutive games. Your luck runs out at some point.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. Those are not names I want to be associated with. And listen, I'm not telling you Carson Beck's not going to come out and ball out. He just may, and they may need that on the road. But the fact that the committee looks at this tonight and goes, okay, where have they struggled? We think they're a really good team, and how much does this matter right now? I don't think it does, but, Mike, it could down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, I do believe it's going to be chalk for the top four. I mean, it's all a matter of, will they always kind of throw a little wrinkle to get us talking about it.
Because every conference is represented, right? You've got Big Ten in with Oregon, Georgia, SEC, Ohio State, and Miami.
Even the ACC is there, and Texas comes in at number five in both the coaches poll and the AP, but this is a different animal with the College Football Playoff Committee. Did they say that Penn State, you know, maybe Penn State doesn't fall as far in their world, you know, because the Big Ten always seems to get it weighted in their advantage.
But wait a minute, losing at home?
Yes.
Should that matter?
I wouldn't even have Penn State in the top 10 right now if I was the guy putting these ranks here. They're six right now, seventh in the coaches poll. Does Indiana jump up ahead of Tennessee? Now, again, to me, these aren't arguments to lose sleep over because it's all going to work itself out. In the mix, it'll fix.
Because some of these teams have to play.
Correct.
You're right.
But it's going to be a great conversation starter. I think Oregon is clearly the number one, and then Ohio State, because the way they slipped up, and look, they didn't look good against Nebraska. Georgia's had some games where they don't pass the eye test. Georgia looked flat against Kentucky. Georgia kind of monkeyed around with Auburn. I mean, you could argue, you know, that Georgia is still a pedigree and a championship team with some great players. So second is, I think four is going to be chalk. Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Miami.
Indiana has Michigan this week. Any other year you'd be saying, oh, not this year. The Hoosiers are actually better. And if they handle business like they should and don't get caught looking ahead to Ohio State, which is the big one for them, they should be in a position, even as a one-loss team, Mike, to maybe make this playoff. Because, again, then it's going to get down to, as we've talked about, and this is your argument. Your argument is if Penn State and Indiana, hypothetically, right, they're both you know, one-loss teams, which Penn State already is. Okay, well, Penn State's the bigger brand. And so the committee's going to put them in over Indiana, despite the fact that they've had an unbelievable season, and it's one of these storytell type endings where you want to see them in the playoffs just to see what happens. That's kind of your argument. Penn State, bigger brand, one loss, they're getting in.
Now, for instance, to me, the most compelling thing tonight we're going to find out with this College Football Playoff Committee is where do they consider, and we talked about this with Wes earlier today, where's Alabama in the College Football Playoff Committee, right? They're 11 in both the coaches poll and the AP top 25. Notre Dame, bad loss against NIU. Bad loss no matter how you slice it. They are at number 10 in that poll. Notre Dame's 8 in the coaches poll. Where does the College Football Playoff Committee? Because Notre Dame always finds a way to weasel in, let's be honest. But this is where, I mean, Alabama, they are for a first time in, I think, the last, 10 years of this?
Well, since Saban, first season.
It's a two-loss Alabama team to be considered by the College Football Playoff Committee.
All right, so here's the thing about this game. If they lose at LSU this weekend, they're done. They're done. And Alabama fans don't want to hear it.
And LSU is, for all intents and purposes, done.
They're done because they've got two losses. Right. So does Bama. This, to me, says we're not letting a 9-win team into this tournament with three losses. That is what the committee – because that's what I believe they're going to say. I don't care how big the brand is. You didn't have...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Handle business when you need it to. This is a must-win for both of these teams, Mike, this weekend.
Hey, by the way, we were talking about some of the monkeys with the wrench. SMU is now in the ACC, which people still have to wrap their heads around. Army is undefeated. All right, here's a conference. It's the Pac-2. Washington State is 7-1 and in the top 25. What happens if those guys keep on trucking? Exactly. You're going to be musical chairs, pal, and you're going to be standing because you're not going to get anywhere. That's where they really will get hosed. But again, it will all fix itself. A&M's getting no margin for error, 7-2. That South Carolina loss really hurt them. Clemson, no margin. And they can still find a way to get in the ACC championship, some long odds. But boy, Louisville came in there. I told you on Friday, if Louisville can play clean, they can hang with anybody. And they did. They punched Clemson right in the mouth.
Yeah, Clemson fans throwing stuff on the field. Booing their team. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Georgia Tech, guys, because they are at home against Miami.
Please. Mike. Now, Miami feels unfinished business because their coach did some really dumb stuff in clock management. Yes, for all intents and purposes.
I hate the noon start myself, though.
You wish it was at night, yes, under the lights with the skyline and everything, like, don't you?
I do.
But I just think that you will see, unfortunately, a Miami team that can really throw the football. And I just don't think Georgia Tech can keep up in this game, if I'm honest. Look, I'm pulling for Brent Key, but all of a sudden getting bowl eligible is getting harder and harder for Tech.
It is, because you're going to finish with Georgia, and we know that's going to be an uphill battle. Miami's an 11-point favorite as we speak, but they think a lot of points are going to be scored. 63.5 is the over-under in this one.
Because Miami's defense gives up a lot of
points. That's correct. So Georgia Tech, listen, I feel like they, at home, after a week off, will be ready. Can you do it 2 years in a row? Last year, it was the fault of their head coach and Mario Cristobal. This year, you're going to have to beat them.
Right, and Miami, they say, now there's an article I read in the Miami Herald that they've all sort of circled the date. Coaches don't want to get bulletin board stuff, but they felt like, yeah, obviously they let one get away for obvious reasons. That was on the coach. But Georgia's got to go and beat NC State. Georgia Tech, I should say, has got to beat NC State because this year it was all about that progression, right, Carl? Taking that next step.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the game, which, I mean, there's a couple you can sort of hang your hat on. The Syracuse game now looks as the one that maybe you shouldn't have let get away. Because you got to get to 6 wins. And I think even Brent would agree with Carl. Even maybe he'd go public with this. Yeah. If he had a benchmark in his mind, it's this year Georgia Tech goes to a decent bowl game.
All right. One other thing. DJ Lagway was carted off, right? The prognosis for the quarterback at Florida improves. And he could play, Mike, against Texas in week 11. That's what they're saying now for Lagway, who looked like his season and maybe, you know, it was going to be a long time that he was going to be out. But the prognosis is better than expected, and so he could be back.
Right.
That's interesting.
Now, I don't know how Georgia fans feel about it. I know some Florida fans who are probably getting punched by Jacksonville cops with handcuffs on their hands. I'm probably going to tell you, Lagway stays in the game. We're in this one. Lagway did look good, and he, as you said, you predicted on Friday. Watch out for the explosive play. He delivered it, then he jacks up the hamstring.
All right, guys, more to get to. Lauren Williams, we love talking with her because she covers our Hawks. What happened last night, and what's the injury update? Because it seems like Mike and I could suit up right now. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Currently, the Hawks are 3-5. Nick's in town on Wednesday. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know many of you are curious. Did the Falcons make any moves, Dukes and Bell, with the trade deadline, if you're just joining us? Mike Bell, the answer is
a resounding no. Yeah, man, there were some other rumors out there about edge rush. Some teams did address it. Crow and I will talk more about it coming up, but it seems like an arms race is developing between the Steelers and the Ravens, the two teams that really feel good about where they're going. We'll get into some of the moves, but we did not acquire an edge rusher or an outside linebacker.
All right, more on that coming up. Let's talk to Lauren Williams. L-Dub joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. She, of course, writes about our Atlanta Hawks for the AJC and covers the team, does a tremendous job. And Lauren, I want to start with last night, first and foremost. I mean, I know the Celtics were in town, but this was a team that a depleted Hawks team came back from like 30 last year and arguably was their best win, but they just looked overmatched last night in this game against the Celtics. What was your assessment?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I think about last season and the Hawks facing a depleted Hawks facing the Celtics was that they still had Bogey, who is a tremendous floor spacer. The way he opens things up for Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, and all of those guys just cannot be understated. And I think last night sort of showed us how much this team is just missing him. Obviously, the Celtics were respecting a guy like Garrison Matthews' shots, but it's just not the same when you have a guy like Bogey, who's a career close to 40% shooter. And so this team just needed more three-point shooting. They don't have that right now. They don't have consistent shooters. And it's just going to keep hurting them until they get some of those guys back.
Lauren, we were spending some time looking at the injury report, and I saw what you tweeted yesterday. This is a new one for us, right knee injury management, and that's about DeAndre Hunter. I know we've gone round and round about him, but, I mean, with all the other guys banged up, we could really use him out. Or when are we going to see DeAndre Hunter back on the floor?
You know, that's the thing. It's just a mystery even to us. As much as we try to get some updates, whether it's from, you know, sources within the organization, from Coach Quinn, no one seems to have the answer as to what exactly is going on with DeAndre Hunter. We saw him warming up at shoot around in D.C. Before that game last Wednesday, but of course he didn't play. So it's really hard to kind of get an assessment of what exactly is ailing him. We know that knee has been kind of a problem for him in the past, and it's clearly a problem right now. But you got to hope that they're going to get him back soon, especially since they're facing a team like the Knicks, which is an even more physical team than the Celtics are. They've got some tough matchups coming up ahead. They have a big West Coast road trip in another couple of weeks. So you got to anticipate that he should be coming back at some point soon. But we have not gotten any sort of update as to what exactly, you know, they're doing to kind of help manage said injury. And I think that's kind of the issue with all of this. Not even that, you know, Hunter is out in general, but we're just not really getting a really good reason or a clear reason as to why.
What do you think, Richache? What do you think after 8 games so far?
You know, for a rookie who is getting as much playing time as he is, a number one pick that this team, we had no expectations that they would have had a number one pick. And when they did, we didn't expect the number one pick to be playing as many minutes as he has. I've been pretty impressed. Obviously, the shots have not been falling quite the way Hawks fans want them to fall, but he has such good instincts, and he reads the game at such a high level. He remains poised. We saw him have a little bit of chippiness, but he's not going to take any disrespect. So I think he is just sort of adjusting to the NBA game. I mean, it's a lot faster. We've seen that quote that's been floating around about him having to adjust to the athleticism on, you know, the court now. He obviously has to continue putting some meat on his bones because he is getting kind of manhandled out there by some of those bigger forwards. And so I think once we see all of these other things line up with him getting a little bit bigger, stronger, him having some more time in the NBA, some of those shots that he's taking on the inside, whether it's him cutting baseline, some of those reverse layups, I think those will start to fall, especially as he gets a touch for the NBA game, not just basketball in general. But I've been pretty impressed with him. His decision-making has been sound. He's committed on the defensive end. I mean, obviously, he's playing like a rookie on that sort of that side of the ball. But I think the big thing with a lot of rookies when they come into the league is, are they going to be committed to playing defense? And I've been impressed that he's just shown a sort of dedication to getting better, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but also on the defensive side of the ball.
Hey, did the Falcons blow it by not getting edge rush? We'll talk about it at 5 o'clock. Right now it's Lauren Williams from the Hawks in the AJC breaking it down. Is Trey just happier? It's all his? It's like it's the sandbox and it's all his to play in, because whatever that was with DeJounte Murray, they might have been besties, but it didn't work. And DeJounte, were you surprised by the things DeJounte said once he got out of Atlanta?
I wasn't surprised that he said it. I think I was more so surprised with how soon he said it. I mean, when that quote came out, you know, the Pelicans hadn't even played a regular season game yet. And you would have anticipated that sort of quote coming out, you know, before that first matchup on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just been kind of a bit of tough luck for the guy ever since that quote came out. He had some family issues. He couldn't play in that made him questionable for the Pelicans opener. He ended up playing and then fractures his hand. So it's interesting how things have shaken out on that side of the trade. But I think on this side of the trade, you know, of course, Trey is going to be a little bit happier running the offense. He's embracing a leadership role. We've seen how he's kind of embraced a guy like Dyson Daniels and Zachary Sachet, taking them over to Oklahoma and hanging out with them over the off season. The vibes have been good. Obviously, losing does tend to affect the vibes, but even through this, things seem to still be pretty positive. We'll see how things, of course, shape up in December, January, when we're in the dog days of the season. But overall, I think that, you know, other than the injuries, you know, Trey is happy to be back out there trying to feed guys, trying to make the right play, and we're continuing to see him take steps on the defensive end. I think the big thing is just that consistency. He's still going to be one of the smaller guys on the court, but it's been fun to watch him kind of get back to the Trae Young that we're used to seeing, especially to start the season, averaging, what, like 26, 27 points per game through the first 8 games. Of course, yesterday's game against the Celtics was kind of a little bit of a bluster there. I think that's the first time since his second year in the league that he's only made one field goal in a game, and very, very rarely going to the line, if at all. I don't think he went to the line last night at all. So, you know, a two-point night is just something that we're not used to. I don't think we'll see a lot of that, but I think it's just showing us how much the Hawks need some of those guys that are injured right now to get back into the rotation, get some more scoring on the floor, just because they're running with a very young, inexperienced team coming off the bench. I mean, if you look at it too, they don't even have Vic Krejci, who has been pretty good at impacting some of the playmaking that the Hawks have on the team. And he's certainly opened things up with just how he's able to consistently move the ball. They don't have Kobe Bufkin, who a lot of the people on the team anticipate will have a big year based on the work that he put in this offseason. The thing is, he's just got to stay healthy. Obviously, we talked about Bogey at the beginning of this segment here, and he's a knockdown shooter, especially the less he plays. So I think once, you know, things kind of bottom out a little bit more with some of these injuries, guys are back in the rotation a little bit more consistently. Hopefully that will sort of even things out on the scoring, especially with the team's commitment to trying to be better on defense.
Lauren, before we let you go, it is Lauren Williams, guys. L-Dub joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Covers our Atlanta Hawks. They are back in action against the Knicks tomorrow. What about Onyeka Okongwu?
Yeah.
I mean, big O, double O, 18 points, 10 boards. But, you know, he's shown flashes. That first game, Mike, wasn't it the first game of the season where he came out and had 28? I think it was, Lauren, season
and
high.
And we were saying, what's the ceiling? High. Right, right.
What do you think about how he's played so far?
You know, I think, and I said this to people on the beat before, if there was a way that the Hawks can somehow find a center that has Onyeka Okongwu's offensive tools and a center that has Clint Capella's defensive tools and just mash them into the same center, then they're pretty much set. But I think we're still seeing that case of why, in my opinion, Onyeka is not quite ready to be a starting center, especially when you look at him against a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, who's a big dude. You know, they've got a big center coming up in Cat tomorrow. He's just, you know, historically not been as strong as the Hawks need them or need him to be when he's facing some of those bigger guys. And so I think that's one of the reasons why you often see Quinn kind of go back to Clint, especially in some of those defensive, needed stops. But I think if you're getting him up against a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit more, who's a little bit more mobile, then, yeah, you make the case that he should be the guy that's getting a lot of minutes. But I think the fact that, you know, Quinn Snyder has often closed out games with Onyeka as opposed to Clint Capela should tell you kind of where he stands within the organization. But I think the big thing with Onyeka is he's just got to continue to be consistent.
Great job, Lauren. We'll see you down arena and continue to do a great job. Check out her stuff, guys. She covers the Hawks again for the AJC. Lauren, we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lauren.
Mike, lots of stuff with the trade deadline coming up in less than 30 minutes. But before we get to that, we got some guy talk on the way.
Yeah, man. All those videos went viral. A lot of folks going, wait a minute, that's excessive force there, Jacksonville PD. Well, now the body cam videos come out.
Uh-oh.
And I think we all know this, guys. Florida Gator fans deserve to be punched in the head repeatedly. And we'll explain more on that. Also, Tom Hanks calls somebody a blank blanker on a podcast. Stay tuned. Hey, man, no joy for Falcon fans if you were hoping we'd consummate a trade to maybe beef up the edge rush or at least pass rush, however you quantify it. Didn't happen. There are some moves around the NFL we'll get to. One of the moves that did get made today, drawing a lot of criticism from fans and an unnamed general manager.
Uh-oh.
Talking about Jerry. We needed some more explosiveness at wide receiver. They make a trade for a dude that wasn't doing anything for the Panthers, which is kind of hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? They went and got Jonathan Mingo. And there's a fourth rounder involved in this, an unnamed general manager telling Jane Slater of NFL Network. He goes, the thoughts were like, whoa, talented, a little raw. I mean, basically a net fifth round pick. I mean, the GM goes on to say, just my opinion, but not a player to include a fourth. That's too rich. Another guy says, what is Jerry doing? A lot of folks felt that, you know, Jerry Jones, we learned from talking to our friends in Dallas last week, friends of Carl's, that Jerry put a no trade clause and allowed that to be part of that gigantic contract for Dak Prescott.
Again,
so, a lot of things slipping, it seems like, in Big D.
Yeah, they did
Mingo's
that.
Mingo's a bum.
He is a bum. They did that in the first contract with Dak, which allowed him to basically get the money that he's got now because they couldn't move him even if they wanted to. Here's the deal with Mingo. He didn't play in Carolina. They just traded a guy that was on the field in front of him because he couldn't play in Carolina. And this doesn't answer the Cowboys' issues. This was a bad move. And, Mike, if anything, you should have went offensive line to try to help Dak Prescott down the road.
Right.
Go get a younger offensive lineman who maybe can be there for a few years. This move is just to appease fans to say he did something, and it's a terrible move.
RG3 had a great take on his social media. He goes, quote, the Cowboys gave up more to get Jonathan Mingo than the Chiefs did to get DeAndre Hopkins.
It's true.
Good Lord. Lord have mercy. Yeah, and by the way, if you didn't see it, not only does he get in the mix, they said they were going to get more of DeAndre Hopkins. Two scores last night. Just unbelievable. Looking great. Making big plays. Wild. By the way, we didn't get to, speaking of making plays, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday because we were so focused on a Falcon victory Monday and Georgia. The Saquon Barkley reverse leap of a player. I've never seen anything like that in the game. Oren, what do you think? I mean, there's a video now that's out there which is an angle from the Eagles sideline, and you see the Eagles players reacting to a play that I've never seen.
The best was Jordan Davis just looking and turning his head and shaking his head like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, again, it was video game type stuff.
Right.
Right.
That you, could you even do that on the Xbox?
I have no idea. You can spin and stiff arm and do all that stuff. I don't know if you can jump backwards.
The best is when the player's talking about, you don't practice that in the offseason. There's no like drill where you're going and you're jumping backwards over people. So that was all instinctual for him to do that at that
time. He felt the defender pressure, jumped over and kept going and got another. It's just mind-blowing. Great athlete, and that's a guy that should sure look good in a, well, Giants or Cowboys uniform this year.
He absolutely. And, Mike, I just want to add one other thing to the Cowboys thing for Cowboy fans because they just left town, some of you. They gave up a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, who's not seeing the field either. You cannot continue to give up third, fourth-round pick. These mid-round guys are what usually makes up most of your football team. And now they've given up another one for a guy who couldn't see the field in other places. I'm just telling you, this whole Jerry GM thing is not working. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, it just seems like, and even though with him, see whatever responsibility he's ceded, he's definitely ceded it to the wrong people because they're making some terrible, terrible decisions. Speaking of bad decisions, let's get drunk in the hot sun all day and then mouth off to cops in Jacksonville at the cocktail party. We had the video and we talked about some of the stuff that's gone viral yesterday. Jacksonville PD chief in the sheriff's department says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I get it. It looks bad when you see somebody going Joe Palooka on a fan, but you got to see the whole story. And now the body cam has been released. You saw some Florida fans acting a fool. And then there was this one Georgia fan, and boy, kind of went to a really dark place when the cops approached him.
What he said? What happened?
You remember I told you I'm either going to kill a cop or not leave, one or the other.
Yeah.
What?
He said that to the cops that
okay,
got
well
it on
then,
the body
well,
cam.
Well, then you know what? It makes sense while they were wailing on this guy.
That's
assault, brother.
I mean, I'll take things you never, ever say to a police officer for $500, Alex.
Mike, say, what did he say again?
You remember I told. So apparently he came up to this guy at one point and said, look, will you please just get your stuff together? And apparently came back to him. He's got this hat down. His face is in his chin is in his chest. Sunglasses.
You remember I told you I'm either going to kill a cop or not leave, one or the other.
You dumbass.
After the taser gun is unholstered.
He caught two tasers. Mike. Two tasers.
And that's when this Georgia fan goes, tase me. So this cat, we're living in a very dark place. Now, again, I don't know if he bet the 14.5 like I did and saw which way the wind was blowing, but there's really nothing you want to say to the cops. One officer attempted to calmly persuade him, even after he said this.
Wow.
So, again, we said, that's why my father always said, there's always three sides to every story, his, hers, and what actually happened. One officer, even after he said, I'm going to kill a cop, says, can we just get you out of the stadium? Can you just please leave? That's what apparently said,
you know, there's a woman trying to kidnap my kids.
So this guy... This guy was having a bad day down in Jacksonville.
Bro, why don't you leave the game? Why are you still at the game if somebody's trying to kidnap your kids?
He said he would not leave with all of his five children present. And the officer said, look, you can leave with the kids or go to jail.
Yeah, man.
He goes, I'll go to jail. I'll go to jail because I don't give a blank. Put a blank and beat your blank. Again, this is what he says to the cop. So I know a lot of this.
It's on.
So then,
it's on.
And in the process of getting this guy cuffed, they decided to go to the fisticuffs as opposed to just, because the two tases had no effect, apparently.
Okay. That's assault, brother.
Yeah, because he was whatever he was. I was going to say doped up. Here's the thing, Mike, though. This is where,
right?
Okay, we always talk about the negative side of these cams, right? Car gets pulled over. Right. We always see, you know, oh, the guy didn't do anything. Why did the cop pull his gun? Right. This is why they need to have this.
When somebody says that to you, I mean, you know, yes, you understand.
You're asking
for it. Sure. But wait, one final comment on the way up. As they've got him all hogtied, they're taking him up the aisle.
Y'all going to get sued. I'm fixing to get rich.
You asked for it. You were so disobedient in the form of just being respectful to these guys.
Right.
Right. You didn't even have to get there.
Right. And then the Florida fans, you saw some of that where there's one where there's a guy. Apparently they say he's about a 65-year-old man. He basically, he's got his forearm in the cop's face, basically just kind of rubbing his forearm. So, again, you're going to get your butt whooped. I mean, this isn't a real news flash out here.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Hey, man, one other story. And this is kind of funny because, you know, Tom Hanks is generally considered one of the great actors of his generation.
No doubt.
If not the greatest. And certainly one of the most lovable people in all of Hollywood.
Forrest Gump, where does it rank?
Right. Top five for me.
Top five.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Again, now, as far as it has. People that, you know, if I don't know, if you got a cold for a heart, you don't enjoy that movie. I always love it. Now, granted, the jogging part, you could probably edit some of that down, you know. I was running. Okay, let's move it along. But anyway.
It was a long movie, but right. I'm just saying, like, right. That movie jumps out. I actually, you know, there's so many Tom Hanks movies, but anyways, go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
New movie's out. He's promoting it with Robert Zemeckis, who directed it. Him and Robin Wright, it's called Here. And Zemeckis directed Forrest Gump. So he's making the rounds. He went on Conan O'Brien's podcast, which I listen to every week, called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, which is great.
It's fun.
And he was talking about the movie process. And he talked about how, you know, look, you make a film and sometimes you put some work into it. Conan said, look, you know, he always, you know, he loved some of the, you know, different movies. Basically went through his career and said it had to be tough. The first time you direct a movie, it was that thing you do about like a band in the 60s, a pop, you know, one-hit wonders. And it was kind of lukewarm initially from the critics, but since then it's done well in rentals and people like it. And so Tom Hanks goes on to explain how, you know, whether it's your movie or not, you put the work in, eventually you see the film, maybe it's a year and a half after you start it, you cut it, and then you get the word from the critics. He basically says, and I've got to paraphrase here, they're the biggest bunch of blank blankers, talking about the critics.
Wow.
And how the critics and the job of being a critic has now expanded to what was generally thought of as the top critics, the major newspapers and magazines, now to just some Joe Schmo who's part of Rotten Tomatoes, basically.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. That's why you can't take it for face value.
Right.
Some movies that I have absolutely loved,
have not gotten the Rotten Tomatoes that it deserved. And I think sometimes that can be overblown.
And I think what Conan was saying, and I've said this to you before on the radio, it's like when you read a review of a hotel, hotels.com, you got to consider the source. You know, if it's like, you know, Larry Jerkman from Jerkwater, Oklahoma, who's never been outside, you know, you got to understand. Same thing goes when, like, you read a Yelp review. Is this just some jerk? So take that into consideration. And so basically, I think we all know critics.
If those Yelp reviews start with, I've never really traveled, but let me explain to you what happened.
Well, you know, it's like, we asked for butter 3 times. Or, you know what? You kill yourself. I don't want to say that. Or delete that. I don't want to get in trouble with that. Dump that, Orin. But no, as far as the idea of being,
you're right.
If you're that negative, you know, you can tell through the review.
You can.
Hey, end with some positivity. A guy that we always talked about, and unfortunately, he doesn't get as much credit as Arthur Blank because we deal with the sports world, and that was one of Arthur's partners with Home Depot. Bernie Marcus passed away yesterday down in Boca at age 95. His commitment to philanthropy here in Atlanta, I mean, as unmatched by anyone other than maybe Arthur Blank.
Guys, they built Home Depot. And I want you to think about how Home Depot plays a role in your life. Now, you may be like, it doesn't. It probably does, and you may not even realize it. Mike, I just think they've built one of the greatest companies in the history of the United States.
Right.
And to be able to live the life he did, he lived a great life. The aquarium, we don't have it without him. Right? There's so many things that he touched in this city. And I just think, you know, in our conversations with Arthur Blank, he always talks about his relationship with him and how they operated. So sad news, but I got to tell you, 95, he lived a great life.
And again, so much giving back to the city. Hey, man, there's your Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. Go get some at your favorite package store. By the way, Thursday, hitting the bricks. We're going to be at Taco Mac, Dallas Highway, Marietta. Come by and hang with your boys, 2 to 7.
I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't be fretting that we didn't make a move at the deadline coming up in 5 minutes. It's Dukes and Bell.
I didn't do anything! Don't tase me, bro!
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.